this morning on my own here. Okay. 56 years, that hardly seems possible, you know. But 50 of them have been good years too, by the way. But at any rate, no, all of them have been good. God couldn't have given me a better mate. And I'm glad to testify to that. The other day we were talking and I said, honey, after 56 years, I found you tried and true. She leaned over and she said, I'm tired of you too. No, not really, but anyway. But it's great to have the Lord as the center of your life and see what God's done. I got married on my 19th birthday, which aged me 1 year the day I got married. And so, but God is good, isn't he? He's good. Let's go to the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 12. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. And truths that we need, truths that transform our life, the series. And this one deals with grace for every need. Grace for every need. And there is grace for every need that we have. And I'm glad for that. A lot of times, as men, sometimes our children will walk up to us and they'll say, would you help me get this lid off of this jar? I can't get it off. And sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's the children. And we're always glad to do that, aren't we? And sometimes we get embarrassed and can't quite get it off. We run hot water over it, but we're glad when we can help out and meet a need, and it makes us feel good. But we have a Heavenly Father that has strength for every need that we have and grace for every need as He gives us that grace week by week, day by day, year by year. And so sometimes God allows some things in our lives and we feel like I can't handle this. I'm too weak for this. It's a tough thing. And we feel so inadequate. There's a lot of different things, but when we feel inadequate about anything, we should go to the Lord and ask for His help. He wants us to do that. And we have a Heavenly Father who is omnipotent. He has all strength. And whatever our need is, He can meet that need. Not only that, our need is His opportunity. Our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity to show us who He really is. And so He's there. Now, we may have some kind of thorn in the flesh, and that's a challenge to us, a problem, a difficulty, something that creates maybe some pain in our life. But we can pray and ask God to take it away. But if He doesn't, we need to depend on His grace to take care of whatever it may be that we're facing. Now, let's look at these verses, 2 Corinthians 12. And first we look at verses 7 and 8, and we see the agonizing thorn, the agonizing thorn. In verse 7 and 8, the scripture says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, and this is Paul speaking, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times Paul prayed about it and asked God to remove it, that it might depart from me. And so what came to the Apostle Paul? What came to him? It was a thorn. The Greek word is skolop. And that word literally is talking about a thorn, not maybe a whole crown like Christ wore, but a thorn, maybe like a thorn in the hand. Something is painful, something you'd like to pull out, something you'd like to get rid of. And so Paul says that that's what God gave him, a thorn in the flesh. And you can, in other words, that's painful. If you've ever run a thorn in your hand, you know that's painful. And so that's what he's talking about, a spike. And figuratively, what it's speaking of and reminding us of is some kind of annoyance in our lives, some kind of pain, some kind of disability that we have. This is the only time that word is used in the scripture, in the whole Bible, but it's talking about a pain, a thorn that we have in the flesh. Now, we don't really know what his thorn in the flesh was. There have been some different theories. One was ophthalmia, that he had a lot of pain in his eyes and could not see properly. And there's some other theories, but nobody really knows what his thorn in the flesh was. But we do know it probably was some kind of physical defect, because it talks about a thorn in the flesh. And as I said, he asked God to take it away 3 times, but God did not do that. Why would he want him to take it away? It hurt. It was painful. It was something that was uncomfortable to him. So in our lives, sometimes we have physical problems, and sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's some kind of failure in life. Sometimes it's we know we let God down. Sometimes it may be a family situation. There are a lot of different things, and you can think of some, that brings pain to us in our lives. Paul's was literally pain physically, but in our lives, other things that come, they're like that. And that reminds us of those things. But God said, no, I'm not going to remove the pain. So be in your outline, when it came. When did it come? Well, what had just happened? Let's go back to verse 1 and see what happened to Paul. We'll go over this real quickly in 2 Corinthians 12:1. He says, it's not expedient for me for doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. That's pretty big stuff. I knew a man that was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory. I glory in God and the one that spoke and all that was involved. But in mine infirmities, that's what I glory in. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, what is he talking about, and who is he talking about? Well, it's evident that Paul was that man that he talked about in verse 2. I knew a man in Christ. That was Paul. Paul said, I'm the one. He's saying, I'm the one that had that experience. The only other person that had an experience like that was John the Apostle. And he was privileged to see some things that nobody else had ever seen. But Paul could have gotten proud. Hey, I went to paradise. I was up in heaven. I saw this and I heard God talk. And this is what he told me and all that. But he said, no, I can't come back and even talk about it. It was so glorious that I can't do that. And so God, to be sure that he didn't get arrogant or proud or think more of himself than he should, God gave him this thorn in the flesh to humble him. Now, sometimes we go from mountaintop and we have great mountaintop experiences, and then we go down in the valley. Things begin to happen that are not what we want. And why do you think God allows that in our life? Sometimes we might get too proud, too cocky, too self-sufficient. And God says, I just want to remind you down in the valley, you need me. I am the one that you really, really do need. And that prevents in our life, like in Paul's life, the sin of pride. And when everything goes good so long, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to do that. Now, why did it come? Well, one of the reasons is the hunger of self. In other words, God allowed the thorn in Paul's flesh that he might hunger more for God. He allowed it so that he would want to be drawn closer to God, that he knew that that was important. And he wanted to know God more intimately. God wants us to know him intimately. And not far off or just a strained relationship, or we don't think about him, we don't talk about him, we don't talk to him, rather, and all of that. God wants us to know him intimately, and he wants us to know him experientially. We go through these times, and God is there and helps us. It draws us closer to him, and we're able to, through that experience, give him more glory, and we walk with God better sometimes when we go through trials. It's just part of it, and we hunger for him. And so sometimes these things serve to meet our needs in our life, so God can do that. We have the story in the Bible of Martha and Mary, and I've always enjoyed reading about them. And Martha was one that was always busy, always doing something. She was like, why didn't Mary come in here and help me to clean these dishes? You know, it was that was her attitude. Now, she was doing a good thing. She was focusing on her service. And sometimes we get so focused on our service that we don't have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But he gives us that contrast with Mary. And Mary was not thinking so much about service, but Mary was concentrating on God and on her love for Jesus Christ. And so she's sitting at his feet. And sometimes we're not sitting at his feet as often as we should or like we should. We get so encumbered with everything we're doing, even things we're doing for him, that we're not real close to him. And that's not a good thing. But God allowed this, I think, for that. And so Mary pleased the Lord, Luke 10:41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Now get that. One major primary thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so he's saying, look at Mary. She realizes the importance of intimacy and worship, not just doing things for God. We need to be close to him. And then, of course, there was also a hatred by Satan. You know, sometimes God allows Satan. He has to have permission, but God allows Satan to attack us. Satan's goal is to destroy us. That's always what he wants to do, is stop us, destroy us, make us weak and ineffective. That's his job. But God's goal is to show his power, even though he allows Satan to attack us in some way. And we're all familiar with the story of Job, right? Satan had to get permission from God to attack Job. But God allowed that. And you think you got problems. Go back and read through the book of Job again and see what all happened to them. But in Job 2:6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. I'll let you go so far, but that's as far as you're going. Save his life. And then Job, as he went through these things, acknowledged the power of God and the right of God to do whatever he wanted to with him. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. He knows. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So God allows Satan to attack us sometime so that he might bring us through that and show us who he is, and we come out on the other side like Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, we believe. And for over 3,000 years, Job has testified of the power of God to bring you through those problems. And so he displays his power in our times of trial. And then not only the hatred of Satan, but he allows it for the honoring of the Savior. If you have a thorn in your flesh, if you have a problem, a difficulty that you're going through today or whenever you're going through it, then it's opportunity for us to honor him, to bring honor to him. 2 Corinthians 12:10 states it this way in that verse, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, Paul said. That's strange talk. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And here's why. How could you say that, Paul? For when I'm weak, then am I strong. You see, sometimes the best thing can happen to us is for us to be weak so that we depend on God and we seek his help, and then we become stronger. And so he is our Father, and nobody loves you any more than God. He is our Abba Father. They say you can say that Papa, Papa in the original language. Papa, Papa. It's intimacy. He is our Father, and he loves us. And so he wants the opportunity to honor him and bring glory. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need and those times of trials. So you have the agonizing thorn. And then secondly, you have the astonishing truth, verses 9 and 10. And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, and all of that. And he reiterates the fact that that helps him out so that he can have joy in his life to do that. And so this thorn that came in Paul's life, you would think it would be something that would overwhelm him, that would overrule him, but instead he's overjoyed. Paul has joy in it. And what he's simply saying is, because of this, I'm made better. It makes me better. Gets rid of all the chaff. It gets rid of all the impurities in the gold. It burns them out. And so A in your outline there, through weakness we are strengthened. Through weakness we are strengthened. And Paul is simply saying, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And sometimes we want to quit. Trials come, and sometimes you just feel like giving up. As one man I heard say the other day, you feel like just going out west somewhere and getting alone away from everybody else and saying, forget it. And you just want to sort of give up on it. But Paul couldn't do that. And one man who suffered from childhood polio said that childhood polio was the greatest thing that he ever had to deal with, but it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him because of what happened in his life. And those are the things that come. You take a kite, flying a kite. When you fly a kite, the thing has a good strong string on it, and you better hold on to that string. But if you didn't hold on to the string, it wouldn't fly. And so God holds the string in our life. If not, those things lose their purpose. And we have to ask, what's holding us down? What's the thing that is really helping us to accomplish what we're supposed to be accomplishing? And so God says, I want to empty you before I fill you. I want you to be broken before I heal you and before I fix you. I want you to be cast down before you are lifted up. And that's the way God does it. Through weakness, we're strengthened. And then through weakness, we are perfected. We are perfected. And that's what he's talking about in verse 9. He's implying the maturity that is there. And also in verse 10. And so the Greek word is the same word there when he's talking about I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, in distresses, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. All of that, and then in verse 9, where he's saying my grace is sufficient, it's the same word, the same Greek word that says is made perfect was used when Jesus says it is finished. In other words, it's completed, it's done. He said it's finished. It's the same word that is used here. And so it is completed. God has strengthened us through our problems, and he brings us to that, our thorns. And his strength is perfect. We find out it's sufficient for us. And then thirdly, the almighty triumph, the almighty triumph. Paul gained spiritual victory. Again, going back to that. And if he gained it, we can too. We have the same God with the same power, and we have the same privilege, the same right to call on to him and ask for his help. And so we must recognize our own weakness. We have to recognize that. One of the primary qualifications for really serving God is to acknowledge our inability to do it in our own strength. And when we learn to serve God outside of our own strength, and we're trusting in Him, and we know that we are weak, then we become mature Christians who are leaning on Him. And when we understand this, that helps us to grow in the Lord. So if you think that you can handle it all by yourself, you've got another thought coming. You can't, and I can't. We cannot handle the stresses and problems and challenges of life all by ourselves. We are insufficient. We'll never be able to do it. And not only that, we'd never know the strength that God has for us during those times and how God is real. So what we need to do is admit our weakness, admit I can't handle this, and turn to God and give Him the opportunity to show Himself and His strength. So we have to rely on His strength. We have to rely on His strength. I tell you, you're foolish if you try to bear your burden alone. And I've always said, and we say it a lot of times, I don't know how unsaved people go through that. You've heard that, and you probably said that. I don't see how they go through such a tragedy. I don't see how they go through what they're going through. But I tell you, they don't have the same strength that we have when we have Christ carrying our burden with us. And I don't see how they do it either, but I'm glad I have the Lord, and we have to rely on His strength to help us bear our burden. And God never uses puffed up, proud, self-sufficient Christians. He just doesn't. He doesn't use us. And God is not impressive with our credentials. God is impressive with our knowing, I can't quite do it. I've got to depend on You. You're there. I trust You. I know You're going to help me. And we have to rely on His strength. Moses was a stutterer. And he was not a perfect man. He killed somebody one time. God forgave him. But he was a humble guy. The Bible says he was humble, absolutely humble. And you look at his life, and yet God used him. Exodus talks about it in chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And God asked him, who made your tongue, and so on and so forth. And he told him, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So Moses had to realize, no, I'm not sufficient, but God is. God will use me. David was, in his family, the short one. He played the harp and kept the sheep. And when the prophet was coming to find and anoint the king, of course, Jesse said, well, how about this one? How about this one? This big, tall, handsome, nice-looking guy. He's smart and strong. Is he the one? Are they the ones? And the prophet said, no, that's not what God is looking for. Samuel said in 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That's why God chose little David. He had a shepherd's heart, and he trusted God, and he was strong in his faith. And so Jesse assumed it would be somebody else. But God's not looking for the strongest, tallest, most credentialed person in the world. He's looking for somebody whose heart depends on Him, whose heart trusts in Him. And so God chose David. One time, God could have rained down manna and fed the 3,000 or the 5,000. If He'd wanted to, He could have said, let's rain down a little manna. But what did He choose to do? He got a little boy, a little lad. We don't even know his name. But He got that little boy and used that little boy to show everybody that it was God's power that would do it and that He was able to do it. John 6:8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, give them to Me and I'll show you what they are. Because I'm the one that you've got to trust in. I'm your sufficiency. So Christ chose a little lad, though he could have rained down manna all around them. He could have done it without any problem. And He did it, I think, to reveal His power, what He can do with something that is simple, that is something that is inadequate, if that is turned over to Him, and He can use that. And so God wants to use it, and He does. Now, a lot of things we can take home from this, but One of them is that we understand the importance of thorns in our life. Don't forget that God's not mad at you, and God doesn't allow those things because he's angry with you. Now, he may chasten you with some of those things sometimes. If you get out of his will, sometimes he'll take his heavenly razor strap out and wear you out a little bit with some thorns in the flesh, so to speak. But when you're walking with him and you're reading your Bible and praying and doing the right things that you feel the right things that God's told you to do, and you still have problems, then don't think that they're not important. They are important. God allows them because they are important in your life. And then at the same time, realize your limited power. Realize, some things I just cannot handle, and I have to depend on God. And go to him. He's there. He loves you. He's your father, Abba Father, Papa Papa. He wants to help you out. He wants to take that jar lid off for you, okay? He wants to take that off for you, and he can. He has the power to do it. And remember our limited power, but his unlimited power. And then understand that we just need to rely on God for his strength. His strength is there. And God uses the weak, and we depend on him. We depend on the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And when we do that, then God takes our insufficiency because he's sufficient and does it. So Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God, please remove it. And I would think if anybody's prayers could get through, Paul's could, right? And by the way, these divine healers on TV that tell you if you have enough faith, you're going to be healed and all that, ask Paul about it. Do you think Paul had any faith? Absolutely. Of course he did. But he went to God in prayer. That's the right thing to do. God said, no. It's better for you to know my grace. It's better for you to have this problem, and I can use it for my glory. And so Paul said, you're the boss. Okay, I'll listen to you. And I won't fuss about it. I won't complain about it. I won't be negative about it. And however you want to use it for your glory, that's what I want you to do. And Paul got the victory, didn't he? And so when we go through these times of trouble and difficulty, we must realize our insufficiency, depend on God, know he's there, know he loves us, know he'll see us through it. And when we get on the other side of it, whenever that may be, then we'll be better off. And even during it, we'll be better off. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the trials that come. We're taught in the Bible to give thanks in all things, not just the good things, not just when the money's there, not just when our health is good, not just when everything's going good in the family, not when everything's okay, but in all things, we're to give thanks, depend on you, know that you're not hurting us, but you're helping us, and you're going to bring glory to your name, draw us closer to you in sweet, intimate fellowship that we may know you better, which probably all of us in this building need this morning. We love you and thank you for loving us. And thank you today that you are our sufficiency. In Christ's name, amen.